You're listening to the Living Homegrown Podcast, episode number 9.
Welcome to the Living Homegrown Podcast, where it's all about how to live farm fresh without the farm. To help guide the way to a more flavorful and sustainable lifestyle is your host, national PBS TV producer and canning expert, Teresa Lowe.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Living Homegrown Podcast. I'm glad you're able to join me today. This podcast series is about living farm fresh without the farm, through artisan food crafts like canning and preserving, and through small space homesteading. I'm Teresa Lowe, the founder of the Online Canning Academy, and I'm also the canning expert and the co-executive producer on the national gardening TV series Growing a Greener World on PBS. If you want to learn more about this podcast series or my background, you can check out episode 00 of the podcast or just visit my website, livinghomegrown.com. Today's episode is a Q&A episode with a listener question about growing herbs. It's from Riley, and she says, "We just bought our first home, and I think I want to start growing culinary herbs. But I'm wondering if herbs are difficult to grow, and are there any herbs you would recommend starting out with?" Well, Riley, I grow a lot of herbs for cooking and canning. In fact, my interest in culinary herbs is really what led me into gardening in a big, big way. When I first moved out on my own, I started to get really into cooking food, and I wanted fresh herbs because they had the best taste. But they were really expensive in the stores, and I didn't have a lot of money back then, so I started growing just a few of them right outside my kitchen door, like rosemary and sage and thyme. And before I knew it, I started adding vegetables like tomatoes into the mix, and well, I just got totally hooked on edible gardening because really the benefits of growing your own food is that nothing beats that fresh flavor. You can always get herbs that are dried, you know, like at the grocery store, or maybe you have some in your spice cupboard. But as they sit there on the shelf, they slowly lose their flavor. The volatile oils just slowly dissipate. And in fact, there's even a few herbs that are really useless in the dried state, like chives and basil. If you ever buy dried chives or basil and just open the jar and smell it, you'll notice that the aromatics are kind of non-existent. It doesn't even compare to crushing a fresh basil leaf in your hand. And in fact, I really feel that using dried chives or dried basil is really just a waste of time. You really don't get any flavor from that. So I really started noticing this as I started growing my own herbs, and that's why I really, really got into edibles in the first place. Now, you don't even have to grow your fresh herbs. You can get really good prices on fresh herbs at the farmer's market. And if you ever buy some there, it's always a good idea to kind of treat them like fresh cut flowers. Bring them home, recut the stems, and place them in a jar or a vase of water, and leave them in your refrigerator standing up. And they'll last a long time, a week, sometimes two. Or if you have a really large bundle of fresh herbs that you get from the farmer's market, you can wrap them up in a paper towel and just place them in the crisper of your refrigerator. And again, as long as they don't get too wet, they will last a long time. But if you want to have fresh herbs at your fingertips at a moment's notice, and you want to have some of the more unusual things that I'm going to talk about today, then you want to grow them yourself. And I think it's a great idea for you to give it a try. The most important thing to remember about herbs is that they're super easy to grow. They really don't need very many considerations to have big success. Probably the hardest thing with growing herbs is that most of them need full sun. So you didn't describe what your backyard looks like or what kind of sun you have, but that's probably the biggest thing that you really want to try to have is full sun. And by that, I mean about 6 hours of sunlight a day. Now, if you don't have full sun, that doesn't mean you can't grow herbs. There are a lot of herbs that do great in partial sun. Some of those would be mint, chives, parsley, chervil, scented geraniums, and lemon balm. I also have grown nasturtiums and tarragon and even rosemary in partial sun and had great success. Another herb that you may not have heard of that is really good in partial sun is salad burnet. And I'm going to have in the show notes for this episode all of these herbs listed, plus their botanical names, so that you know exactly what I'm referring to. But salad burnet is a beautiful herb. It can get a little weedy in the garden. It does spread seeds, but it's easy to pull out. The leaves are serrated, and they're actually very pretty. And if you taste one of those leaves in the cooler months, it tastes like fresh sliced cucumber. So I use it in things like sandwiches, and I like to make a vinegar with it that I use for my salad dressing. However, what's really cool about salad burnet is that in the hot, hot days of summer, those same leaves taste like watermelon. It's a really weird chemical thing that happens with salad burnet. And so sometimes it tastes like watermelon and sometimes it tastes like cucumber, but it's always a great herb to have on hand. Now, aside from sunlight, the next consideration when you're growing herbs is soil. Herbs are actually drought tolerant. They don't like to have their feet wet. They don't like to sit in a lot of moisture. So well-drained soil is really what you want. Now, let's say you have a spot that you want to grow herbs and it's actually very moist all the time. It's kind of mucky. Then in that case, try growing them in containers. Herbs do great in containers. And if you're just starting out and aren't really sure where you're going to put your garden, grow a few containers of herbs, some of the things that you like to cook with, and they will do wonderfully that way. Next is watering. Like I said, they're drought tolerant. They really only need to be watered when they get dry. Sometimes people tend to overwater their herbs, and that usually is the biggest problem that they have. They can take a lot of neglect. That's why they're a great thing to start with if you've never gardened before. And just feel the soil, and if it's dry, give them some water, and if they're still moist, you can skip another day. It's pretty easy. Now that brings me to, what should you grow? Well, first of all, I would grow whatever it is you like to cook with the most. For me, it's rosemary, thyme, sage, basil, mint, chives. I actually have about 50 to 55 different herbs in my herb garden, so I could go on and on and on, but those are my go-to herbs. Those are the ones I use all the time. However, I also recommend that you try some more unusual herbs. One of my all-time favorites is lemon verbena. Now, lemon verbena is a tender perennial, so you may have to check to see if it's okay to grow in your climate. It's hardy only to zone 9. So if you want to grow it and you actually have a very cold climate, you may have to grow it in a container and bring it indoors or into the garage in the winter months. It is a deciduous herb, meaning that all the leaves will fall off every winter, but even though it looks dead, it actually comes back every spring if it doesn't get frozen. What I love about lemon verbena is that I use it in everything. It has a wonderful lemon essence without being bitter. So I use it on chicken and fish. I use it in salad dressings, but I also use it in my daily water. So in other words, I go out and I pick a sprig of lemon verbena, wash it off, and I keep it in a large container of water, and it gives the water kind of a lemony taste. And it's a little bit easier for me to meet my quota of water that I'm drinking every day if it has some kind of flavoring. So lemon verbena is one of my favorite things. I also like to put cucumbers in my water, but that's a whole nother topic. Now I'm rattling off a whole bunch of names here of different herbs. So what I'll have in the show notes for this episode is a list of all the herbs that I would recommend starting out with, and you can kind of pick and choose what you want to use. And I'll include the botanical names so that you know exactly which variety I'm talking about. And you can get that list at livinghomegrown.com/09. Okay, so now you're going to start growing these herbs, and I can tell you that at some point you're going to have a whole lot more herbs than you can use. There are a lot of ways to preserve them for later. Of course, you can dry them. That's probably the easiest way. But if you want the really fresh flavor, then I would recommend freezing. It's really a great way to go. There's a lot of different ways to freeze your herbs, though, and I want to give you just a few examples. First, you can just take a few sprigs of your herbs, wash and dry them, and then roll them up tightly in some wax paper. kind of like you would roll up sushi, and then place that wax paper bundle inside a baggie and place that in your freezer. Now, the reason I do it this way is because I can pull out that little sushi bundle and use a knife and just slice off some of the herbs when I'm cooking and place the bundle quickly back inside the freezer bag. And it works really well. You don't have to defrost the entire baggie. You just can break off or chop off what you need. Another way that you can freeze your herbs is to chop them finely like you would for cooking and fill ice cube trays with the chopped herbs. Then you just add some water to the ice cube tray and freeze it, and you can later pop those out and store them in containers. This works really well if you're going to be using those chopped herbs in soup or if you're going to be sauteing them. It works really well. You can also make herb butters, and to do that, you chop the herbs, and you can do a mixture or combination of different herbs and mix it in with some butter and freeze the butter. Whenever you want just a little flavoring, you can scrape off some of the herbed butter and put it into your dish. This works really well for finished sauces that you might be pouring over your chicken or over your meat, and it also works great on vegetables. But one of my very favorite ways to preserve herbs in a frozen state is to make herb concentrates. Now, an herb concentrate is kind of like a pesto, but it only has two ingredients, herbs and oil. And the advantage of an herb concentrate is that you can pull it out of the freezer and you don't have to defrost the whole container to use it. Because the herbs are suspended in oil, you can just scrape off of the top with a spoon and use what you need. And the flavor is almost identical to fresh. I love making herb concentrates. Sometimes I'll mix different kinds of herbs together, but my most common concentrate is made with basil. Since basil doesn't dry very well, I love to make a concentrate with it. So the way you make a concentrate is you take 2 cups of hard-packed herb leaves, and by hard-packed, I mean you place it into the cup and you press it down until you are pressing down and it reaches 2 cups. I put that into my food processor, and I pulse it a few times and get it all chopped up. Then I turn on my food processor, and I start to slowly drizzle in some oil. I like to use olive oil. And it takes about 1/3 to 1/2 cup of oil to 2 cups of hard-packed herb leaves. And the thing is, this is not an exact science. If you only have 1 cup of herbs, then you just use less oil. And you keep drizzling it until all the herbs are completely coated with the oil, and you're starting to get a little bit of pooling of the oil. So you're starting to get more oil than you need. And that's when you stop. You place that concentrate into a small container. I love to use those really small 4-ounce glass canning jars. Usually that's just enough to fit this amount of concentrate. And I label it, and make sure you do that step, because I can't tell you how many times you think you're going to remember what that jar is and you pull it out and you can't really smell it when it's frozen. So it ends up being kind of a guessing game if you don't label that jar. So you'd label your jar, place it into the freezer, and later, let's say you only need 1 teaspoon of freshly chopped basil. Well, you can pull out that jar and scrape off the top until you have 1 teaspoon of concentrate. You use it exactly as you would fresh, and it works really great for just about anything you can think of that would call for a fresh herb. Now, Riley, there is so much more that I can go into on this topic, so I'm going to have a lot of links for you in the show notes for this episode. I'll have my full instructions for how to make herb concentrates. I'll give you a list of recommended herbs with the botanical names, and I'll also give you some recommended books for further reading, especially if you're just getting into culinary herbs. I have a few books that you might want to check out. So just go to livinghomegrown.com/09, and I'll have that information right there for you. So I hope this little introduction into growing and preserving your herbs will help all of you in your culinary adventures. They are so easy to grow, and they give you so much in return in the ways of aromatics and flavor. So I really hope you'll all give it a try. Thank you so much for joining me here today. And until next time, I hope that you're able to live a little bit more local, seasonal, and homegrown. Take care, everybody.
That's all for this episode of the Living Homegrown Podcast. Visit livinghomegrown.com to download Teresa's free canning resource guide and find more tips on how to live farm fresh without the farm. Be sure to join Teresa Lowe next time on the Living Homegrown Podcast.